And got your Bible? I would invite you to turn with me tonight and turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians 5, your Bible. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 17, a very, very familiar verse. You know it? Let's say it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new
creature. Old things are passed away.
Behold, all things are become new. You know, what is unique about human beings is we're made in the image of God. You know, your dog dies, you dig a hole and you bury him. Done it. It's over. That's it. Human beings are so different from animal life because they not only have a soul, animals have souls, they not only have a soul, they have a spirit. And with that human spirit, they can be reconnected with God who made them in his own image. But you realize that as a result of Adam and Eve's sin, sin entered into the human race, and as a result, we are sinners by our very nature. And that image that we have been created in has been marred. And ever since that happened, God has been in the process of bringing about a restoration. God is all about restoring his image in human beings. In fact, when you're born again, that's the first step, just the first step in this restoration process. You are regenerated. You are given life again. You are given God's life. And the Bible says that he then puts us in a process in which he is constantly working to conform us, to shape us into God's image, into the image in which we were originally intended to be. And that's why we are called God's workmanship. He says in Ephesians 2:10, believers are God's masterpiece, God's workmanship. So if you're a believer, you are a, as our verse says, new creature, new creation, a new person, if I could put it that way. But what's new about you as a person in the spiritual sense? What is it that's new? Well, several things come to mind that I want to note tonight with you after we pray. Our Father in heaven, once again, we pause to pray because we recognize our absolute need of you. We cannot communicate properly. We cannot communicate powerfully except we have the Spirit of God enabling. And so we pause to look to you and ask, believing that we will receive. And Lord, we pray that you would also anoint the ears of the hearers tonight, whether they be here or listening online, because we need to be enabled to hear rightly. Let us take heed to what we hear and how we hear. And Lord, we pray tonight that your will be accomplished in this message and in our lives. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. So, if you're a believer, and I may be speaking to people that are not believers, you may be here sitting here and not a believer. You may be watching online and not be a believer. And that can be remedied. That's what God is desiring to do in every human life. He wants you to have his life. He wants to give you spiritual life because, as we'll see in a moment, if you have never been born again, you're spiritually dead. You might be physically alive, but you're spiritually dead. But if you're a believer, you are a new person. Well, what is all new? He says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, what? All things are become new. Well, what's all new? about you if you're a believer? Well, did you know that a human being is made up of three parts? Now, there's some that might argue with that, but I would differ with them. I believe the Bible teaches that a human being is made up of three parts. Paul says, I pray that God sanctify your body, soul, and spirit. Scripture says that the Word of God is so powerful, it is able to divide between soul and spirit. I think you're three parts. I think human beings are made up of three parts. Obviously, you're a body. Some are bigger, some are smaller, but you're a body. Secondly, you're a soul. And the soul is the part of you that would include the mind, and I'm not talking about the brain. The mind, your inner consciousness, the mind, the affections include the emotions, but it's about what affects you and what effects you have to things. Your mind, your affections, and your will, the place where you make your decisions, your choices. Every human being is made up of those three parts. Well, let me ask you, what's all new? Well, obviously, it's not your body. You got your aches and pains, right? You got your back problems. You got your foot problems. You got your head problems. Your body isn't new. That's going to happen, however, if you're a believer, it's going to happen someday in the future. It's called glorified. That's what we have to look forward to regarding our body. What about your soul? Is your soul, is that all new? I don't think so. Do you have problem thinking the right thoughts? Do you have sometimes the wrong moods? Do you make at times the wrong choices? Well, that means then that your soul is not all new yet. So that only leaves one more part that the Bible says is all new, and that would be your spirit. And that's what I want you to see tonight as we talk about this. As I said a moment ago, if you are not a believer, if you have never been born again, you are spiritually dead. And don't misunderstand death. People don't think about death very much. Death, you know what it is? I can sum it up in one word. It's a separation. It's separation. When you die physically, your body is separated from that soul and spirit of yours. And your soul and spirit then go either to heaven or to hell. Your body goes in the ground. See? So that's what physical death is. You know what spiritual death is? The Bible says that if you are not born again, you are dead in sin. And spiritual death is to be separated from God. Spiritual death is to be cut off from the life of God. And when you are spiritually dead, you're not only separated from God, but as a result, the reason you are separated from God is that you are joined to, you are linked to, you are bound with something that the Bible says is sin. Listen to this. Romans 6:6 tells us, knowing this, here's something you got to know. Our old man is crucified with him, speaking to Christians, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth you should not serve sin. Now, the body of sin. Let me tell you, when it comes to a human being living on planet Earth, there's only one vehicle through which you can sin. It's called your body. If you didn't have a body on this earth, you couldn't sin. But that's what it means. The body is the vehicle for sin. And so as a result, regardless of whatever good deeds you may be able to perform, if you're a Jewish person, whatever mitzvot you may have racked up, all of that is tainted because your human spirit is in collusion with indwelling sin. And in Romans chapter 6, it's not talking about sins like individual sins that you commit, but it's personifying sin. And it's almost like a person that lives within you. This sin that the human spirit without Christ is joined to, and the Bible says that's why whatever good work you might be able to perform is dead works. It counts for nothing because you are chained to sin. And the only thing that can change that relationship is the death of one entity. And you can't do that for yourself. And that's why you need Jesus. And the Bible says in the same 6th chapter of Romans in verse 10, "For in that he, Christ, Messiah, Jesus, died, he died unto sin once." Jesus died unto sin. Now, in earlier chapters in Romans, we are told, for instance, in the 5th chapter, the chapter before, that Jesus, or the Messiah, Jesus, died for sin. Right? He died for our sins. But here, it says he died unto sin.
Wow.
That's what he says here. This is different. What this is telling us is that Jesus himself came into union with our sins on that cross. That's why he said what he did, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you separated yourself from me? And at that same moment, when you believe in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, it is as if that cross becomes a sword and it falls and it severs that union, that bondage relationship that you had with indwelling sin. And that's what he means in Romans 6:6 when he says the old man is crucified with Christ. The old man is your unregenerate human spirit that was dead in sin prior to Jesus dying for you on that cross and you believing upon him. And so at that moment, you are actually placed into the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. The Holy Spirit of God immerses you into Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual thing he does. And that means that all of Jesus's history becomes your history, which covers your past. And then he not only does that, but the Bible says that your human spirit that was once joined in bondage to indwelling sin is now connected and joined to the Spirit of Christ himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 tells us that. Isn't that amazing? That your human spirit is now joined to Jesus, and that's why you're a new person. That's why you're a new creature. That's why you are a new man. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24, that we are a new man created in true righteousness and holiness. And we are told in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9, listen to this. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his, that is God's seed, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. That's telling us that there is a part of a human being that is saved that it is impossible for that part of us to sin, and that's our spirit. Why? Because our human spirit at salvation is joined in union, it's married to, if you will, the Spirit of Jesus himself. So the spirit of the believer is unable to sin. Soul can, the body can, but the spirit can't. That's where the Spirit of God dwells. That's what makes us the new man. And the Bible tells us that we become the partaker of the divine nature. Something of God's own spiritual DNA is put into the spirit of man when he is joined to Christ, as the scripture says. It's absolutely amazing. In this fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, where I've had you turn, he tells us in the last verse of that chapter that Jesus was made sin for us. Jesus, who knew no sin, was made sin for us that we might be made, notice this, the righteousness of God in him. Now, there's a couple of things to understand here. In Romans chapter 5, we are taught that when we get saved, God declares us righteous. That our position in Christ is that he sees us as righteous. This is a step further than that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse, it says we are made righteous. And I believe that that's referring to the spirit of the believer that is made righteous because it's joined to Christ. And folks, if you are a believer, I want you to get this tonight if you don't get anything else. And this is a vital truth. That is who you really are. That is who you are. You are, as the Bible says, a partaker of the divine nature. Your human spirit is alive with Christ, and your spirit has been joined in a permanent relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a new person, and God's seed, it's actually the word sperma that he uses there in 1 John 3:9. God's seed abides in you. It never is removed. It remains in you. And the Bible calls you a child of God. And the Bible calls you a saint. And the Bible identifies you not as desperately wicked as a, by the way, that's your flesh. The flesh never changes. The flesh is connected with the indwelling sin. In fact, sometimes the words are used synonymously. But your flesh is desperately wicked, but you in your spirit are totally righteous. That's the facts. When you walk in the flesh, however, the works of the flesh are going to be manifest. And when the works of the flesh are manifest, you are going to look like a lost person. But remember this, even at your worst moments, you are totally righteous in your spirit. In the core of your being, you're righteous. And that is so important to understand, because I'm convinced you'll live up to what you are. Satan wants to lie to us. He wants to tell us that we're losers. He wants to tell us that we're rebels against God. He wants you to identify yourself by shame and guilt. But I want to say to you that you are righteous in your worst moments, in your human spirit. And that is something which says this: when you walk in the flesh, that's not really what you want. The real you is that regenerated spirit. That regenerated spirit wants what God wants, and we'll get to that in a moment. But you get, you're a new person, and as a new person, you have a new power. There is a distinguishing characteristic, several of them, but one of the main distinguishing characteristics of Bible Christianity from all religion is that when you get saved, you get a new life source. The founder of Christianity, the Lord Jesus Christ, not only became a man so that he could become our sacrifice on that tree and give us forgiveness of sin, but he moves in to the believer with his resurrection life to be able to conquer sin so that it no longer reigns in you. In fact, in Romans 6 and verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. The old man is dead. That old unregenerate spirit is dead and buried. He that is dead is freed from sin. In other words, there is a new power source that is given to us. In chapter 7, verse 4, we are told that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And so the human spirit and the Holy Spirit become one. You know how husband and wife too become one? Well, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit and the human spirit become one. Two become one. And as a result, you get a new power source, a new life source, and a new power source, which is not automatic because we're not robots. God has made us with the ability to choose. You have to cooperate. It has to be a faith choice. If you walk in the flesh, if you serve sin, at that point, as a believer, it's a voluntary slavery on your part. You choose to do it voluntarily, but you don't have to. You have a choice because you have a new life source, which gives you a new power source, and you can experience victory literally every moment that by faith you access the life of Jesus, and you will experience his victory, which otherwise you would only face defeat. But Satan lies to us. Satan lies to us, and he tells us that Jesus can't satisfy us as much as our sin can. Satan lies to us, and he tells us that God loves us less when we sin. And when we think like that, we are simply performance-based people, because that is totally untrue. The Lord Jesus Christ loves us unconditionally as his people. And we need to view him as the one that loves us, and not the one who has a heavenly baseball bat or club that he is just waiting for us to step out of line one little bit and he's going to club us over the head. That's not who he is. That's not how he works. He gives us new power, a new life source, a new power source, a new purpose. You're a new person with new power and a new purpose. You know what your purpose is? It's the purpose God gives you. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God gives you new desires. Deep in the core of your being, God gives you his desires. God gives you the right response to whatever is going on in your life, in your mind, all around you. You're a new person, and as a new person, in the core of your being, you always want God's will. But there's always that inner pull to sin. But that inner pull to sin isn't the real you. That's not who you are in the core of your being. You have new desires. Obviously, there's still wrong desires. Satan lies to you to make you think that you want your sin, but in the core of your being, if you are a born-again believer, you don't really want your sin. But he lies to you to make you think you do. Because it's not you wanting that sin. It's your old master, that is, that indwelling sin, that is trying to make you think that he's you and you're him. He's lying to you. When you feel the pull, the temptation to sin, if you will immediately claim your union with Christ, you will instantly sense his overcoming life to overpower that temptation, and you will experience victory instead. I dare you to try it. I want to close with this. If you could take a caterpillar to a scientist and have that scientist examine the DNA of that caterpillar, he would tell you that the DNA of a caterpillar is a butterfly. Now, you could look at that caterpillar and you'd never believe that. But the DNA of a caterpillar is a butterfly. And the process of a caterpillar turning into a butterfly is called metamorphosis, right? Mm-hmm. You science people? It's called metamorphosis. Well, did you know that that's a Greek word, by the way, metamorphosis. That same Greek word is used in our New Testament, and it's translated changed. We are changed into his image from glory to glory, metamorphosized spiritually. 2 Corinthians 3:18. It's used in Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. There's the word metamorphosized. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the picture is, no matter what your life looks like, if you're a believer, you have God's DNA in you. That's who you really are. You're really a butterfly and not an ugly caterpillar. We deceive ourselves when we believe the lie of the wicked one. And we live up to what we think we are. But I'm trying to tell you tonight that you are a new creature, as the scripture says. You're a new person if you're a believer. You have new power. You have a new purpose. Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would just cause this to not only be an encouragement to us, but Lord, that it would cause us to desire more deeply to find out whether these things are so, and then to take what we discover and apply it in our lives and see the difference that it would make, that we would, at that moment of temptation, just claim the union that we have, our spirit joined in marriage, as it were, with Jesus, and experience that instantaneous overcoming life of Jesus that will overpower that temptation to sin and experience victory instead. Lord, teach us that. In Jesus' name, amen.